Amen. Hearts turned towards God. As we go to the book of Luke chapter 15, here this morning, it's the last message on giving. I'm really not going to be touching on actually giving. I'm just going to preach this morning, and I'm going to allow the person of the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart this day within this area. I'm just going to preach, and I'm trusting that the person of the Holy Spirit is the voice that you're going to listen to. Amen. Amen. I'm real excited. All the bathrooms are done. How many have gone to the bathrooms, amen, and said, whoa, it's like buying that brand new car, amen? Amen. All the bathrooms have been done. We're going to go on to the next phase of the youth place downstairs, the bonnet room, that all up, and the children's ministry completing what we were going to do, amen? So we're just going to keep little by little working on the church, amen? But what's most important, that we continue little by little working on our lives in Christ. Amen. The book of Luke chapter 15. I'm going to touch on two parables that go side by side. Amen. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, the lost silver coin. Let's go. Luke 15:4 reads, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Let's go to that same chapter of 15, but let's go to verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor this day. We open our hearts and minds that you may be able to enter and make whatever adjustments that are still needed within our lives. And I speak for all of us, including my life, that further adjustments can always be made, not so much that we're all messed up, but because you're so great, because you're so big, there's always adjustments and room for growth in our lives. And I pray that we all continue to grow, to be more like you, Christ, to be Christ-like. In the name of Jesus, we all say in one accord, amen. Within these two parables, the one sheep that was lost and the one silver coin, what they have in common is that they were both lost. But what also is in common in these two parables in dealing with the one lost sheep and the one lost silver coin is that they were both found. They were both found. Too many times we remain lost and we can't see past our problems. They were not only lost, but they were both found. One parable speaks of one sheep lost in the open country. The shepherd would go into the open field and leave the 99 in the open country to go looking for the one that was lost. The other parable of the silver coin, this one was lost in the house. This silver coin was lost in the house. And to me, the one sheep that was lost in the open country represents all those that are lost around the world. And the second parable of the lost silver coin represents our own very family members, the condition of our family, the house. In Victory Outreach, we not are only concerned about our family and our house, but we're also concerned about all outside of our house that are lost and bound, and that's why our ministry's all over the world. Because there's a need right now that's in the homes of families. And I believe it starts in the home where one becomes lost. And eventually, they're lost to the world. I want everybody listening here this morning, if you really stay listening to all the points, the Lord's going to do something to you here this morning in a good way. In Luke 15:8, I'm going to just jump now into the parable of the lost silver coin. In 15:8, the Bible says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coin and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" Here within this opening verse of the parable of the lost silver coin, we know here this day that that lost sheep represents a soul, represents a son, a daughter. We know here this morning that that one silver coin represents a son or daughter of that woman. Here within the parable of the lost silver coin, it was the woman that lost that silver coin. It was the woman that lost this silver coin, that lost this son, this daughter, within her very own house. Within her very own house. How do we know that? The Bible says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp?" The Bible says that she was the one that lost us. Why was this one son or daughter lost? Because the lamp was off. The lamp was off. And we know that the word of the Lord is a lamp before our feet. Here this woman was raising 10. This is me speaking. And one was lost within the house. Some of you might say, "Well, I think she did a pretty good job. Out of 10, only one was lost." And that's the truth. Sometimes we can say, "Well, I got five, at least four of them are doing good," or we can conjure up these things to look at it with a lack of importance. But all the enemy needs is just to get one to bring a mess into that house. The enemy don't need all 10. He just needs one to distract a mother or a father or parents. He just needs to be really hitting on one of them to bring confusion into the house. Here, the silver coin or drachma was worth one Roman penny. We're looking at it, we see, I was thinking a lot of money, but when you look it up, it was one silver coin was worth one Roman penny. Had little worth. I put here a lot of us believe that our 10% tithe can't really help build the kingdom of God. A lot of us believe that our own very life can't help much in building the kingdom of God because of our past life that we've lived. That our 10% can't help much and that our very own life can't help much. And that's why a lot of times we don't give, and a lot of times we don't serve. Our worth outside of Jesus ain't worth much. But in Jesus, our worth has, I put here, no limits. When our lives become in the hands of the Lord, are placed in the hands of the Lord, and we're allowing Him to lead, we become priceless. When something is priceless, it's always and never for sale. There's things that are priceless, jewels and everything, and that person is never going to sell that. The word of the Lord Jesus is priceless when he enters the life of a man or a woman, and too many are selling out for a beard, opposite sex, or whatever it might be. When Jesus is priceless, we too are priceless when our worth is found in Jesus. Here, this woman had a problem in her house. There was a problem. Somebody was lost. I put here, when we apply God's word and tithe, the tithe comes within God's word, amen, in the Old and the New Testament. When we apply God's word and tithe, we allow God to perform miracles of multiplication. This is just my words, amen. When we obey the living word of the Lord, and we tithe correctly, we allow ourselves to become those vehicles, those instruments that the Lord is able to work miracles through. When the young little boy brought the fish, the couple of fish and the five loaves, to Jesus, Jesus was able to multiply what was given to him, though its worth wasn't much and there was no way it could feed the 5,000. When these two fish and five loaves of bread were given to Jesus, they were supernaturally multiplied to feed everyone, even with leftovers. You see, we allow Jesus to be the miraculous working God of the New Testament. Not only God that was working miracles to Moses and Joshua of the Old Testament, but in New Testament, when we give, we become those two fish. We become those five loaves that outside of Jesus ain't much. But when we give it to Jesus, we are alive, allow our lives to be lined up with Jesus to bring a multiplication that would have never took place if it wasn't given to Jesus. You see, when we do it our way, it's a dollar for a dollar. When we do it the Lord's way, it turns into the 30, 60, 100 fold. I truly believe in my heart that a lot of people stay lost. Amen? Because people ain't giving correctly. Here, I believe this woman wasn't giving correctly, because the light in her house was off. The word of the Lord was not active in her life. And sure, the enemy will allow a few of your kids to grow up and do good with no spirituality whatsoever. But to lose just one would bring great heartache to a parent. I want my life to be able to be a vehicle
that the Lord can do miracles through. I want my vessel, I want to be able to expect for God to move when I give. Even if it's just the $20 I put in that envelope, I can expect. What's 100-fold, Jamie, on $20? Tough question. It's 100-fold over. It's a lot of money, man. We'll just put it that way. If you can do your homework, Jamie, if you can find that. It's big. It's big. What can happen off $20 or $100. But that's $20 I do every service. Oh, pastor just gives $20. No, that's every service. Every time I walk into the house of the Lord, especially with what I make, amen? That's big money. $20 every service. Here this morning, I put here, who needs a miracle in your life? Is there something this morning pending in your house that you wish was different? Is there something right now currently pending in your house that you've given it your best shot to change it in Jesus, and it still hasn't even budged? I asked the question again. Does somebody need a miracle in their home right now? You've proven that you haven't been able to change it. In spirit, you've given it your best shot. In the flesh, you've given it your best shot. And it still has not even budged. It's still there, whatever it is that you wish could be different. See, that's where Jesus says, hello, hello over here. Hey. Let me take care of that one. But I want you to trust in me that I can take care of that one. I want you to believe in me that I can take care of that one. Follow my word. Let your heart be turned here this morning for that breakthrough you need within your house. The enemy don't need drug addiction, everything in the house to bring, disunity within the house. He just needs a little bit to work with. Who needs a miracle within their life today, within their home today? I always say that in the book of Genesis, it says every seed produces after its own kind. That's what God's word says in the Old Testament, that every seed produces after its own kind. You plant apples, you're going to get apples. You ain't going to get oranges. You put two little rabbits together, you're not going to get cats. You're going to get rabbits. God designed all the seeds he created for them to produce after their own kind. But the seed of the tithe of finances can come back in any and every way. It's not if you give, you're going to get straight back in money. It can do any and everything that you need. Things were going good in your house. Things were going good. It were going good. But the enemy's at work right now. He was tugging this way. The Lord was tugging. And things were going good. Things were going good. Now you're like between a rock and a hard place. Jesus is saying here this morning, trust in me. Trust in me. What you've been trying to do, I can do in the blink of an eye. Here, if this woman would not have found the silver coin, that son, that daughter, if she wouldn't have turned the light on, if she wouldn't have swept her house, she would have not only been in loss,
Because this son and daughter of hers is a soul. But God too would have lost this soul into an eternity within hell. It's funny how we see God, we see Jesus as victorious. But God loses when people die and don't make it to heaven. A loss takes place. In Luke 15, 8, this one silver lost coin, remember there was 10 of them, this one silver lost coin still had the same worth even though it was lost. And that's why this mother, this woman, found it important enough to make changes in her life by turning the lamp on, to turn the light on. That coin, even though it was lost, had the same worth than the ones that were not lost. Men and women that are lost and bound in the streets right now have the same worth you and I got. The only difference is that we have been saved, that we have been set free, that we have been found by Christ. That's the only difference. They have the same value we do. The same Creator, the same God that created us, created those that are still lost and bound. There's worth in that son that ain't doing good right now. There's worth in that daughter that's not doing good right now. They're simply lost. But as in the parable of the lost sheep and the one lost silver coin, they were both found. They were both found. I'm here to let you know anything and everything that is taking place in your house can change. And God wants it to change, and as soon as it changes, God wants you to just to look up and say, I know you did it. I know. I released it to you. I know you did it. It was something that's so great. It was so lost. It was so heavy. It couldn't move. But when you handed it over to the Lord. See, the Lord once received recognition here this morning. He wants to be the source within your house. He don't want no gift, no talent to be the source of your house. He wants to be the source of your house. And even though the men here are the head of our household, amen, Jesus still remains the source of our household. In Psalms 119, here this woman turned the light on. She started making changes. She came to see that it was not working. Let's just go to overhead screen for time's sake. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And a light for my path. Some of you still think that it's not important whether you read in your house or not. You still think it's not important. The truth is, what's taking place is that the light's off even though the lights are on. Like old saying says, the lights are on but nobody home. We need to know that the enemy's in full warfare right now. He's attacking. And we need the light on of Christ. We need the gospel, the light of the gospel on within our homes.
Too many come this morning for breakthrough and for God to bless and everything, but the lights are off. Lamp represents light, God's word. And look back, let's go back to Luke 15:8. A light does a lot of good. Bible says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? The light of the Lord illuminates and allows us to search carefully. A lot of us want the best for our children, but we're not being careful in the way we conduct ourselves. When we search carefully, amen, the things of the Lord, you're going to find what you need. You're going to find what you need. The lamp, the word of the Lord, the light allows one to search carefully the things of God. When the light of the gospel is off in your house, it allows you to search carefully the things of the world. We need to have our Bibles open within our homes. We need to be reading our word. It allows you to search carefully. It allows you to have a hope to not quit and to continue to search carefully. This woman knew if that young daughter of hers or young son of hers was lost in the house, that she or he could be found in the house. That he or she could be changed in the house. If her son or daughter could be lost in the house, her son or daughter could be found in the house. But changes were going to have to take place within the house. And too many times we become stubborn and we just want, no, we're not going to do that, and we're just not going to do that, and we're just not going to do that. And the lights are off and it's getting darker. You call upon God to do miracle. You need a miracle. And he's saying, turn the light on. Open the Bible. It allows you to search carefully. Don't think I put here, this is religion. Don't think you can raise a godly family when the light of God's word is off in your house. It ain't happening. It is not happening. I don't know if my Bianca or my Alex is here, but I got the word at the conference, and I wasn't obedient to it on giving them little Bible studies every night, right? Just a Bible study. So I started 2 days ago, and I call it 5 minutes of fire, right? But they don't know. I got them so Holy Ghost set up, man, I go for about 15, 25 minutes. Can't give a five-minute word. Just to say my name takes 5 minutes. They've been good little Bible studies that pertain to where they're at. And being able to give them God's word in the light, turning the light on. I'm going to keep doing it. Before you know it, 365 days are going to go by. I'm going to keep doing it and keep doing it. And they're going to be able to look back and remember when Daddy would give them the 5 minutes of fire. Amen. I study and I study and I study my butt off to get a word for you guys all week long and praying for you guys. And I says, I'm going to start doing a little closer watch on my own children. The first one, Alex was already asleep. Bianca said, he just went to sleep. He just don't want the 5-minute fire Bible study. He just went to sleep. He's not really asleep yet. So we went in his room and we turned the lights on. Was Alex happy? He wanted the lights off. I say, hey, Alex, I told you we're going to start, man. There's no way around this one, man. You know, as long as you're under my roof. No, I didn't say that. He says, come on, man, I work. Well, praise the Lord. What else you do? I got bills to pay, he said. I got to get my sleep. The TV's like an oven in that room, that big old TV he plays all his games on. I said, son, as soon as you, you know, sit up real quick, I'll get out of your room the quicker you sit up. Okay, man, hurry up, man. Okay, man. Man, talking about giving the 5 minutes of fire under pressure. So I did, I gave it. Praise the Lord. I said, God bless you, son. I love you. I turned the lights off. But I went in there and turned the lights on. Sometimes when the lights are turned on in your life and it reveals things that are there, you don't like it. Even though it's to bless your life, he couldn't see what I was trying to do. The next day comes, amen, and he comes looking for me. Hey, when are you going to give the Bible study? When are you going to give the Bible study? I said, why, son? I look like he had to be setting me up, man, you know? When are you going to get the Bible study? And I said, right now. Be ready in and out of season. I said, why? He says, because I got to go to sleep. I want to get this done right now. I said, oh, you got it. I said, praise the Lord. He came looking for me to get the light on out of the way before he could turn the light off. I said, right now, I was just going that way. I was just going there. I was doing 1,000 and fixing all the restrooms in the church. I was doing all kinds of stuff. Johnny, stop on the spot. I stopped. Got the Bible. Says, Lord, give me a word. Give me a word. Hurry, quick, quick. My son's now asking for the word. I don't know if that's a plus, if he did that with a good one or whatever. I'm running with it. I went in there. And I would give him a three-point sermon message about Peter denying the Lord and the rooster crowing. He goes, yeah, I know that. When the rooster crowed, no, I know it. You know Alex. If you know Alex, he knows everything. He knows everything. Yeah. I said, but son, let me break it down to you. It's my duty as a father to break it down. We all know when they arrested Jesus in the garden, the disciples ran. They were gone. Amen. Even beloved John was gone. He burned rubber too. Amen. The Bible says that Peter would be warming himself at the fire. And the Bible says that he was warming himself. He was trying to act like one of them. One of them. The enemy, right? He didn't want to be known that he was with Jesus because it meant his life. When shortly before that, he says, I'll die for you. I won't be like the rest. They all ran. I've seen a lot of running disciples in my time. Track stars. We could make the biggest, Victor Alvarez could make the biggest Nike commercial that Michael Jordan could never outtop. I mean, a commercial and a half. Pew! Who was that? I don't know, man. That was a brother leaving the church. Pew! Who was that? I know a sister, man. She fast. She ran faster on the way out than she did on the way in. And I would say, Alex, you know, at your workplace, we're disciples. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. At your workplace, they're going to joke around. They're going to tell nasty jokes because we're part of this world. And I says, I'm not expecting you to say, I'm a Christian. I don't listen to that stuff. They probably suck them up, right? I said, just walk away from it. You don't have to say you're a Christian. Just walk away from it. You don't have to be part of it. I says, Bianca and your little ring of friends there at school and everything, they're going to be doing things what kids do. They're going to be doing things that are not proper because the light is off in their house. The light of the gospel is not present. And what the work of the enemy is trying to do right now is to allow us to deny Jesus. To deny Jesus. I said, that's his work in your life, Bianca. You know you're a Christian. Alex, you know you're a Christian. And the work of the enemy is to come in to deceive you, to allow you to deny Jesus, to look like one of them in the world. There was a time when we looked, all the fads changed and everybody wants to look like the fad, whatever the fad may be. When we've been called to look like Jesus, when we've been called to be set apart, So they got real quiet. I was getting the Bible study. I said, yeah, every day the enemy's going to look for a way in for you to deny Jesus. When he's the greatest thing in your life. Don't think you can raise a godly family with the lights off of the gospel, the lights of the gospel off in your house. That's religion. You can't. You can't. It don't cost me nothing to give a 15, 20-minute devotion. Nothing. With all my years of experience now, I can pretty much grab a scripture and run with it and tie it into their lives. There was at one time I had to study 10, 20 hours to do what I do now. You know, just grabbing the scripture from the word of the Lord. Remember, it was the woman that lost the silver coin. Because the Bible says that she turned the light on. She turned the lamp on in her house. I believe. Some of you don't think it's a big thing whether you read your word or not, whether you pay your tithe or not. You don't think it's a big deal. I believe that not paying the 10% tithe can make a bigger mess than you think possible. Just one of the pastor's thoughts. That what you think is not important is more important than what you think. That it can make a bigger mess than you think. The broom here, the Bible says, not only would she turn on the lamp, but sweep the house. She would remove, represents the Holy Spirit removing obstacles I put here from your life that normally would be left alone and would never be removed. Prayer and word allows the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. He's the one doing the work. And removing those obstacles, those addictions, those hindrances, those lusts of the world that we have. I can't walk in my house with the light off and I know the whole layout of my house. I need to turn the light on naturally and spiritually. I need to turn the lights on within my home. Your sons and daughters are important. We give 8, 10, 12 hours to the workplace. We can give 20, 30 minutes to our children. I believe as parents, we are the ones that need to initiate the lights coming on in the homes. It's up to us. Because the world is turning the lights off. They're running to the places of darkness. And too many times we're just caught up trying to keep our nose over water. I believe giving of your tithe removes selfishness from your life. When you give of your tithe, I believe the offering scripture says, Lord, turn my heart from selfish gain. From selfish gain. Turn my heart from selfish gain. Too many times because of our past lives, not having much or whatever, whatever we grab a hold of it, man, we put the G.I. Joe grip on it. That's for you 40 and older, G.I. Joe. And we believe the finances are better in our hands than are in the hands of the Lord. I really believe by giving, by trusting the Lord, removes selfishness from our lives. It removes you from being selfish. Hear the Bible once again, again, ready to close. Here this coin was lost within the home. Lost within the home. One of my notes here puts, I believe sons and daughters are lost before their life ever starts. Before they ever leave the home, their lives are lost already. Because the light of the gospel is off in your house. I believe parents need to turn the light of the gospel on in their homes if they want breakthrough. A lot of you are here because you need a change in your life. You know God's got something greater, a greater calling that still hasn't taken place yet. So you find yourself here at church this morning. But we need to understand that there's a process within God's word that we got to go through to allow, you know, the light to come and reveal what's taking place, to allow a broom to come and remove the obstacles, to allow Jesus to come in. When he removes stuff, it hurts. Knowing God's word, we can't just get to the place where we know. There needs to be application of God's word. We got to do God's word. We got to be doers of God's word. And that's why I do a quick commercial right now for the VETI class. You can learn so much there. It's 2 solid hours. You're going to get a lot in one session. We need to learn the word of the Lord. The lights need to come on within our lives, within our homes. The light needs to come on. Too many of you all think you're doing good enough when there's so much more that the Lord wants to do. I believe for some of you, it's vital that you take that VETI course, that you sign up, and that you give towards the word of the Lord being imparted within your life. That the lights can come on. That answers can be given to all your questions, to your problems. And every class and every course, the light just gets brighter and brighter where you're able to see where you're missing it. Through God's word. Not through Pastor Jamie, but through God's word. He will show you where you're missing it. He will show you, if you want breakthrough in this area, this is what I want you to do. We're on a battlefield. I believe the biggest battlefield is in the homes. It's in our houses. And where we're losing the fight. Because I always say, the strength of the church is really the strength of the houses. The strength of this church is the strength of how strong it is in Jesus in your house. How much Jesus, if you were to have to from 1 through 10, would you say is in your house because of what you do in the time, in the area of prayer and word? Where would you gauge how much Jesus is in your house? There's different watts of lights for different purposes, different wattage of lights. In the saving of souls, we need the wattage. We need the watts of the word of the Lord. A good job ain't going to cut it. Being a provider ain't going to cut it in the days we're living in right now. We need to be a provider of God's word. You love your children, you're going to do something about it. And there's nothing better than going and giving the word there to my son and my daughter and closing the Bible and saying, yes, they let me do it. That alone is a miracle in itself. I got them now. There's no turning back. They've been Holy Ghost set up. And every day that little 5-minute fire is going to get a little longer and a little longer and a little longer. I believe, this is what the Lord gave me. I believe that the Lord knows where every lost soul is. How many believe that the Lord knows where every lost soul in this whole world at one given time, that he knows where every last one of them are? How many believe that? Because that's how big our God is. That's the sovereignty of God. Even if some are under the bridges, under bushes right now, in hiding, he knows where they're at. This is what the Lord gave me. I said, I believe that the Lord knows where every lost soul is. The Bible says that we not choose him. He chose us. How could he choose us if we were lost? He knew where we were at. He knew I was in prison when he set me free. He knew where I was at when I didn't know where he was at. He chose me. When I was still powerless, ungodly, still a sinner, he chose me. He died for me. And the revelation that the Lord gave me, I said, I believe that the Lord knows where every lost soul is. But what he's looking for and what he's finding hard to find, it's not that he don't know the condition of your daughter and son. What's making it hard for the Lord to do what he wants to do, what he's looking for, what he's really looking for, is houses with the light on, the church with the light on, with the gospel of Jesus. He's looking for a place to bring the lost and the bound. That's what Jesus is looking for. He already knows where all the lost and the bound are at right now. But what Jesus is finding rare in these end times that we're living in is the house that he can bring them to that is going to give the word. A house where there's going to be a broom called the power of the Holy Ghost that is able to come in your son's life, your daughter's life, your marriage, and change it and remove what's preventing you to love one another. In Victory Outreach all over the world, the lights are on. In our rehab homes, the lights are on. Jesus is looking for a place that he can not only bring to a church setting, but he's looking for places that will take in a drug addict, a prostitute, an alcoholic. He's looking for a house, not some special house, but a house that has the light of the gospel on. He's looking for a place that's preaching the gospel. He's looking for a place that his presence can reside and dwell at. He's not looking for a fancy place. He's just looking for a place with the light on. So when he sends that woman, they can be radically transformed by the power of the light of the gospel. The Lord already knows where all the lost. He knows your problems, right? He knows every last one of your problems. He's looking for a house with the lights on. Why would he want to send people to a place where the light is off? They're lost already. There's churches that are lost and bound. There's churches that are lost and bound. And that's why there's big old churches that don't have drug addicts and gang members and everything going to it because the light's off. God, being sovereign, knows that they got to go to a place where the lights are on. Not just to be saved at the altar, but to be transformed at the altar. And I'm believing for that this morning here. I'm believing for the person of the Holy Spirit to set a few of you on fire this morning, because I know the presence of the Lord is here. I know the lights might have been off on the way in, but now the lights are on and the decision is up to us. Are we going to keep the lights on even when everything is going wrong? Are we going to keep the light of the gospel on? Are we going to shut the lights off every time we get mad? Oh, man, I don't agree with that. Turn the light off. Give me my ball. I'm going home. Anybody can keep the lights on when everything's going good, but can you keep your spiritual light on when everything's going wrong? See, that's when the Lord wants to show himself strong. That's when the Lord really wants to make himself known. It's in the time where nothing is working and the only thing that could work is him. That's what he wants to be known for, the miracle working God that he is. The same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore is present. The lights are on. Salvation is about to take place right now. But we got to be those Christians, those men and women that don't give up. And we leave that light on, man, even though it hurts. We leave the light on. We leave the light on. It's not the lost and the bound's fault in times that what we're going through in our homes. So we can't shut the light off, the opportunity for them to come in and be radically saved. The Lord is not looking for where the lost and bound are at, but he's looking for places that the light of his gospel is being preached. It falls on us. We represent our homes. We represent this city. And in Victory Outreach, we represent the world right now. They need the light of Christ. Amen. As the worship team kindly please makes their way forward. I just went through a message, but I could have just gone to that last line right there because that's from the Lord. I know everybody could enhance the wattage of their light, the spiritual light of their home. Because we can always pray more and we can always read more. How many can say amen? It's our very own children. So many times they can be doing really good. They can be doing really good, but the enemy's, he's crouching. He's looking to see who may devour. Just because they're doing good right now, don't mean there's a season around the corner for them coming. But if the light is on, you'll be able to see the season because you're focused. You'll be able to see how the enemy's attacking because you're focused. Because you're careful. Because you're able to see the debris, the hindrances are out of the way. As frontline ministry, sometimes we're going to have to serve when things are going this way and that way and bullets are flying all over the place. I know that's the way I served the devil. Bullets were flying, things were going wrong. I was dying, going to prison, and I still continued to serve. Matter of fact, when the cops would make a raid on the hot spot and they would be there, what would your pastor do? That was the time where I would steal, where all the dope dealers would shut down. I was the only one out there with the dope, man, still willing to do a foot race with the cops if they wanted to catch me. I used it as an opportunity. What set the shop, closed shop for the reasonable dope dealer, I wasn't a reasonable dope dealer. It was at that times when they were doing raids and stuff, man, I would be in the mist, man. They would have to catch me on foot. We got to rise up and stand, stay standing, people. We're on the battlefield. The Bible wouldn't say to dress ourselves with the full armor of God if there wasn't a battle taking place. But that also is found in God's word. The full armor of God allows the light to remain on. The full armor of God allows us to fight the good fight, to run the good race. Too many of you fighting, going toe-to-toe with the enemy with no armor on. Everything he says hits. Everything he throws hits. Everything he does hits. Because you don't have no shield of faith. You don't have, your trust is not in the Lord. You're just coming to church. We need to rise up, amen. That sheep, that coin, they were both lost, but also they were both found. But adjustments were made in that house. The light needed to be turned on as we stand this beautiful morning.